Amen. 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 Thank you, brothers. Amen. Amen. You must be born again. Let me thank this pastor publicly for this opportunity to come and share my convictions about our Christ. I can only hope as we approach this last night of meetings, that it's the first night of revival, that God has used our efforts to touch somebody, to encourage somebody, and to leave guidance and direction upon all of us. I said to Pastor in the office, I feel like I've cheated, because I've been so blessed, I don't know whether anybody else was. But Philippians has been a tremendous blessing to me these three nights. I want to thank Pastor for allowing me to choose the text and to discover that essentially that I thought I chose the text, but in reality, the text chose me. Amen. Amen. And so I am eternally grateful. And I hope that in the days to come, that some of the words that have gone forth these three nights will serve you well. Amen. And finally, just for one more time, these three nights, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through verse 13, allow me to read the text again. Not that I speak in respect of want,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
For I have learned in whatsoever state I am,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Therewith to be content. Amen. I know both how to be abased,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. Thank you so much. Our subject tonight, we wrap our heads and hearts around this theme tonight, the return of a joyful heart. The return of a joyful heart. I trust tonight that you are encouraged in your life, wherever you are, and whatever you may be dealing with. Whatever it is that you might be dealing with in your life these days, I hope and pray that you always have something for which you can be thankful and grateful to the living God. I want you to know that we all will discover that all is well in the end. And if all is not well, that's confirmation that it's not the end. God is faithful always, and God is faithful in always. In everything that you will ever encounter in life, You will never ever find a way in which God is not faithful. Amen. If you get in trouble, God will be faithful. If you get sick, God will be faithful. And don't be surprised if he heals you. So you can't find a way of anything you could experience in this life where you will not find the faithfulness of our wonderful God. He is just absolutely awesome and exceedingly great. And I'm learning, I'm always deeply appreciative of who God is in my life. Each day waking up and finding new mercies that come from our glorious Lord. Amen. And I realize that despite all of these things, there will be times in life when you feel like giving up. You don't feel like you are content. Amen. And it would seem as if the circumstances are just overwhelming you. You feel as though, Lord, I don't know how much more of life's burdens I can bear. You realize that you in and of yourself cannot do this. You cannot do this in your own strength. It is not by might, nor by power, but always by his Spirit, saith the Lord. That's why we can say this with faith and confidence, as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now we need to be reminded how he says here, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Amen. You know, there's some people you see, and it seems like they are happy all the time. They are not necessarily happy all the time. Because remember that I told you, happiness depends on what is happening. But we have learned in 2024 how to put on our happy face. But that does not mean that things are not carrying us through hell and high water. Amen. We are professional at sometimes just being able to put on our happy face. Amen. I learned, Pastor Ventus, that COVID was not the first time we start wearing masks. Church folk been wearing masks a long time before COVID. Amen. Amen. How do we, in the midst of frustrating, aggravating situations in life, learn to be content? Now, in order to learn something, you're going to generally have to go through some experiences, and I want to warn you that may not always be pleasant. Amen. One of the most unpleasant parts of the experience is that in order to see how well you've learned the lesson, you have to be tested. You have to be tested. So if you're going to be tested to see whether you have learned the lesson, guess what you'll be tested with? Remember, when you are taught one lesson, you learn that lesson by experiencing the very opposite of that lesson being actually introduced into your life. So, in other words, when you're learning faith and trust, it means that you are tested with some of the most awful situations in the world. There will be things that will happen to you and be going on in your life you just don't understand. And whenever you are learning joy, have you discovered yet that you learn joy by giving test of sadness and disappointment? Amen. That's how you learn joy. Have you found out yet that you learn forgiveness by experiencing a series of offenses that will then give you a great opportunity to have to forgive somebody? Amen. You will be tested with unforgiveness in order to learn forgiveness. Just keep on living. You're going to find out that you will learn strength by actually becoming weak. Amen. Amen. When you're in the gym trying to build up biceps and triceps and pectoral and all those things, when you're trying to build those things up, you discover that you have to first be exposed to weakness. You have to go to the point where you are shaking and trembling, to where weakness is exposed. That's the way you actually build strength. So if God is going to teach you something, he will quite often engage you in just the opposite. When you see people that have learned contentment, these folk have been through a series of heartbreaking experiences. Amen. Remember this: faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. Amen. Amen. You don't even know whether you have faith when things are going well. A lot of our folk in the church started out, they sing and say, "I'm going to run on," and they ran off. Amen. Faith is most apparent in a storm. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of those things not seen. And once you see them, then faith is irrelevant. The only way to learn the real is to be exposed to the counterfeit. Amen. And the counterfeit always precedes the genuine. The devil will try to do things to fool you, to trick you. But Paul tells us contentment is a learned behavior. Contentment is a choice, not a circumstance. You choose to learn. I thought that I was finished with school when I got out of Withrow and then the University of Cincinnati. And I had to discover that I've been in school all the rest of my life. Amen. Amen. And when you play in school, you have to repeat the course. Amen. Amen. Till you've gone through a variety of situations in this world. You have to learn to choose to be content in the midst of it, because when you have the right attitude, you will realize that things may not be going on as great as it could be. But isn't it true that always you discover that things could always be worse? Amen. So whatever you do, choose to celebrate what you have. Amen. Choose to celebrate what you have. Amen. Well, Paul tells us, writing to the church at Philippi, he does not give us a suggestion saying, I hope that you will be happy. He gives us a command and tells us to be content. The reason that Philippians has been so much on me and with me these three nights, when we consider what's coming our way, add to that what's been taken away from us. Paul commands us, rightfully, I might add, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 16, he says, rejoice evermore. You know what rejoice means? The Bible, notice the word joy, and then notice rejoy. Amen. So Paul says, once you've had joy, you need to be aware of the fact that joy can run out. I hear David saying, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. But the question is, do you know how to replenish your joy? By rejoicing. Anytime you read a word in the Bible that says that re in front of it, it means do it again. Amen. So rejoicing means rejoy. Paul says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. He didn't say rejoice sometimes. Amen. He's not giving us a suggestion here. He is giving us a command. Rejoice in the Lord always, not just on Sunday, but always. The word praise and its various forms in the Bible, and the word rejoice in its various forms, are mentioned some 550 times in the Word of God. This is a command to us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not just when life is treating you well. Rejoice even when you don't have a reason to feel as if life is treating you well. Why? Because praise is the antidote to worry. If you learn to praise God in the midst of things that you are worrying about, amen, amen, then we have the ability to make the devil, I love to give the devil a headache. Amen, amen, amen. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23, this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, are there ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure. Paul says, I've been beaten a whole lot. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been in deaths often. I've been in life-threatening situations. From the Jews, 5 times, I received 39 lashes. Paul was saying that he had been through that type of beating 5 times. And 3 times I was beaten with rods. You don't understand how severe these beatings were when they lashed him. They would take whips that had metal balls in them and glass, and when they struck, the flesh would rip open. And there would be a profusion of blood and bone. They would stop at 39 because they believed that if it went to 40, the person was practically unconscious. So they would stop at 39 because of the intensity of the body going into shock and blood loss. He said, three times I was beaten with rods. Notice he says, I was stoned and three times shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journey's office, often in perils of water, in perils of my own countrymen, of the Gentiles, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren. Amen. He said there were folk who acted like they were with me, but they weren't with me. He says, I've been in weariness and toil and sleepiness often. It's aggravating. Have you ever had to go through a series of nights and not be able to sleep? Amen. You can have so much going on in your life. You can have faith and still can't sleep sometimes. Sometimes God is disturbing things in your spirit, and you have to stay up and pray your way through. And ideas are racing through your mind, and you can't even sleep. Paul said, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, and besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concerns for all the churches. Paul was an apostle and had apostolic oversight for all the churches that he had gone to. Amen. Thessalonica, Galatia, Phoenicia, Colossians, all of them. He talked about, he says, who is weak? And I am not weak. And who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation. Paul says, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity, weakness, that God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. He was saying, I am just going to begin to tell you a little bit of the stuff that I've been through. I just read a little bit of my bio. He said, I glory in tribulations. And that ought to tell you that contentment is a choice. So you have to learn to count your blessings. Amen. You are as content as you've made up your mind to be. It's all about learning to be content. You learn the principles of contentment in whatever situation you find yourself. Listen, contentment has to do with how you think. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the great key is to start thinking, listen to me now, on a different level while you are still living on the same one. If God is going to ever promote you, it will be because you have already started thinking differently. Even though your life is basically the same. Amen. Amen. See, wherever you are in your mind is really where you really are. Amen. Amen. And what makes the difference is what you do differently that makes you different. Your actions will always follow your thoughts. That's why I say that you are as content as you make up your mind to be. Maya Angelou wrote that wonderful poem, I know why the caged bird sings. because the bird had a different place in its mind.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in order to think on a different level while you're on the same level, you're going to need a few things. Let me try to bring them to surface. First of all, you're going to need preparation. You're going to need preparation. Now, the problem with us, Pastor Ventus, is we want to already be prepared. But you can't be prepared without preparation. God, you remember the words of this wonderful song, it was one of my favorites. God is getting us ready for something that we can't handle right now. You see, in life, you don't get what you want in life. You get what you prepare for. Amen. Yeah, and now here's what we do. We want success, but we prepare for failure. Amen. Right affections will lead you to right direction. You got to be prepared. Then you've got to have passion. Amen. Amen. Passion is what fuels you. Amen. Amen. Passion. Passion allows you to move from one level to another. And then you've got to have focus. You got to have focus. Most people miss it because of broken focus. It doesn't matter how you start in life. What really matters is how you finish. Amen. If you ever lose your focus, you can't aim at the target. You have to be able to keep your focus in whatever God has called you to do. You got to learn to keep the main thing the main thing. You have to know what your assignment is. And don't get sidetracked by doing a good thing instead of doing the God thing. You never want to settle for something that is good, because good can be the enemy of something that's best. The devil wants you to compromise with something that's good so that you'll never ever get to what's best for you. Amen. You see, you have to see that life can come with distracting things that you need to eliminate so that you have more time for less things and create power in whatever you're doing. Amen. Amen. And then you need, now this one's going to get you, but you're going to have to stay with me now. Amen. 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 You're going to have to learn as much as possible to free your mind from worries. Do you know that excessive worry is a sin? It's a kind of acting like you can't trust God. There is an arrogance in worry. This excessive worry seems to suggest that if I don't do it, it won't get done. But we are not called to put all of our trust and faith in ourselves. We are called to just totally lean and depend on the Lord. Amen. Free our minds from worry. We do that by learning to think God thoughts. Find things in your life that you can rejoice about. Amen. 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 A good night's sleep is worth rejoicing. Yes, Lord. I know you have. Give me a say, I don't know, but yes, I do. I know that you have awakened. after a refreshing, a restoring night's sleep. Amen. When you wake up and have a good stretch. Yes, Lord. Listen, that's praise and worship time. That rejoice over. Don't take that for granted. Do you know you can have a Tempur-Pedic mattress and a bad night's sleep? Amen. So rejoice over that. Wake up and look out the window and see a beautiful sunshiny day. Oh, that's praise and worship time. That's good. That's time to rejoice. Don't take it for granted. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, in everything, give thanks. Amen. It didn't say for everything. It said in everything. Amen. Now here comes one, and don't hang up on me now. You got to learn to give more. Did you know the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive? Real joy and contentment does not come from receiving. Amen. It comes from giving. Do you know that God will use your pocket and purse as a storehouse? And not only will he put something there for other folk, he'll send them by to get it. Come on, talk to me. Don't ever get the idea that everything God gives you belongs to you. No. You got to learn to give more. Amen. I remember when I came to New Mission as a member. I remember I was not tithing then. I was not tithing then. As a matter of fact, on my way to church, what I would do is I would separate my money, you see. Because it's really embarrassing, you know, when you pull the whole wad out, you know. You don't want to pull all of that out. And then, you know, you got tens and twenties and fives, and you trying to pick it out and notice if anybody looking at you, you know. But I didn't understand the principle of giving. I didn't understand that I wasn't hurting the church by not giving. That was a kind of suicide. I was hurting me by not giving. Amen. Contentment does not come from receiving. Contentment comes from giving. Amen. See, when you receive something, all you have is what you receive. But listen, whatever you give to God, it might leave your hand, but it'll never leave your life. Amen. It'll boomerang back into your life. Amen. You got to give more. Amen. You got to give more. Old preacher told me one time, he said, Pharaoh, if the people in the church are going through an emotional frenzy and you want to slow them down, just come to the microphone and say, let us bring all our tithes and offerings. He said, it's an enthusiasm killer. When you start talking about giving, he said, you'd be surprised. You don't have to say nothing else. He said, they'd be screaming, oh! You got to give more. You got to give more. Got to give more. And I am so glad. Oh, I can't. I'm telling you. I'm so glad that God set me free. I mean, now I started out tithing because of what Smith said. Huh? But that wasn't helping me. Huh? That wasn't helping me. I was following what my pastor said, and that's a good thing. Huh? But when I started tithing because of what God had done in my life, listen, and I didn't stop at 10%. Huh? No, 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 no. I went beyond that. Huh? I even learned how to get happy doing offering. Huh? Yeah, 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 yeah. So you got to give more because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Amen. 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 Then we understand what Romans 8 and 28 says. Huh? I still believe the Bible when it says, and all things work together for the good of them that love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Now listen to what Paul is saying. Paul says all things, not some things, all things, God works them together. He doesn't work them in isolation. He works them together. Now, these all things are the pieces. And Paul tells us how they work together for good according to God's purpose. Now, that's the picture. You see, we get frustrated and we are tempted to want to take matters into our own hands. But God manages the affairs of our lives because we are called for his purposes. We are not called for our purposes. Amen. So whatever you do, don't make the mistake that I've made before. Don't take the matter out of God's hands. Amen. Leave it in the hand. We used to sing about it. We said, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If the world from you withhold all its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare. Just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Don't take it out of his hands. The worst thing you can do, Dr. A.L. Patterson said, there's only one thing worse than waiting on God, and that's wishing you had. Amen. Wishing you had. Now, this one is worse. This one might be a little bit worse for you. Not only do we have to learn to give more, we got to learn to expect less. We got to learn to expect less. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to teach you to have low goals and aspirations. Amen. I'm just trying to suggest that there are some areas that you need to start expecting less because you're not, listen, you're not disappointed by what you find in life. You're disappointed by what you expect to find. I need to say that again. You're not disappointed by what you find in life. You're disappointed by what you expect to find. Amen. Amen. If you're going to serve God, just serve him for the joy of serving him. Amen. The basic sin of humanity, Pastor Bentis, is ingratitude. Amen. You may not even be aware what a curse ingratitude is. Amen. I am bothered when I come to St. Mark and I sit in the pulpit and I see people come in and sit in the pew with a sour look on their face. You know, sometimes we need to have multiple benedictions. Yeah, sometimes we need to point some... Huh? Yeah. Some people, you know, I don't, oh Lord have mercy, you know, yeah. Ingratitude is a terrible thing. I mean, God laid you down last night. Huh? Woke you up this morning. Huh? Gave you the activities of your limbs. You clothed in your right mind, able to feed yourself, able to clothe yourself. Go out, get in your own transportation. Make your way to the house of the Lord. Amen. And all night long, God kept you suspended somewhere between life and death. Amen. And you have the audacity to what? No, 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 no. You don't wait on no choir to get you happy. You don't wait on no preacher to preach to you happy. You ought to woke up happy. Huh? When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah! Thank God for saving me. You ain't got to make me happy. Get out of my way. I'll get happy all by myself. I got a reason to get happy. I got a right to get happy. Amen. 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 February 2nd, I went to sleep in my own bed. February 3rd, the morning of February 3rd, woke up in Good Samaritan Hospital, unable to do anything but repeat my first name. Huh? Totally unaware. Huh? The doctor told me later on, we didn't think you were going to make it. Huh? Heart failure. Yes. My wife had to tell me what I went through. And it was so far from me. So far from anything I experienced. I hate to tell you, but I thought she was lying. Oh, yes. And God brought me all the way back from that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. And you think somebody got to make me happy? Huh? You ain't got to make me happy. You can get happy with me, but you ain't got to make me happy. When I think about how the Lord has kept me and brought me through, when the doctor said we didn't know whether or not you were going to make it. Amen. Lost 50-some pounds. Amen. But it kept me. Amen. Yes. Kept me through it. Brought me through it. Amen. And I'm going to come to church and be quiet? Huh? You better get out of my way. Allow to get hit all upside the head. When I think of all that he's done for me. And he didn't have to do it. Yes. 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 Yes, Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Ingratitude is a tremendous sin. Amen. Amen. Old folk used to say, if I couldn't say a word, I'd just wave my hands. Especially African Americans. With all that we've experienced and all that we've had to go through and got the audacity, the nerve to sit up in church quiet, amen, as if God hasn't done anything for you. Amen. No. Yeah, if you don't even have much, you ought to be thankful for the little you got. Amen. 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 A curse, I believe a curse, will come upon any generation that gets blessed and won't turn around and say, thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe your hearts will become darkened. That's what happens when so many parents have raised their children, given them everything they ever wanted, and they become rebellious, spoiled brats that break their parents' hearts. Yeah, your mind will become vile. Your thoughts will become perverted, and you'll be turned over to things that are ungodly. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, you begin to worship the creature more than the Creator. Amen. You'll be turned over to the lust of your own heart, and it will lead you down a wrong path. Amen. He who is not thankful for the little that he has. People tickle me and say, Pastor, if I ever hit the lottery, if they gave $2 when they was, you know, before they hit the lottery, they probably only give $3 when they hit. Amen. He who is not, she who is not thankful for the little that they have will never be thankful if they had a whole lot. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, God bless you. May God keep you. Amen. Thank you so much. I do hope and pray that God will bless you with a thankful heart. Amen. Now, among the people that I remember in New Mission who will always be with me was Sister Johnson. Do y'all remember Sister Johnson? Every Christian ought to have experienced Sister Johnson. I would love to just watch her. She'd come to church, and it was as if she didn't intend to get happy. It wasn't an intention, but Pastor would get to preaching, and she would get to walking around and moving around, and the next thing you know, she was all over the place. All over the place. She had the can't help it. She was a praiser and a worshiper. And I tell you, I miss Connie Harper. Yes, I do. Because she was another one. Amen. See, the church doesn't know how valuable those people are until those people are gone. Amen. They leave a void. Amen. And Connie was one of those loudmouth worshipers. She was a loudmouth worshiper, but God bless her heart. She let you know she was there. She let you know why she was there. She came to worship. If it bothered you, move. But she was going to worship wherever she was. And if you had some God in you, she would encourage you at the same time. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thanks be to God. I hope that God blesses all of us with a thankful heart. Now, you can't wait on other folk. They may not have it that day. But if God has been good to you, I think one of the best songs Charles Fowle ever wrote said, if the Lord has blessed your soul, You ought to tell it. If he has made you whole, you ought to tell it. Amen. Amen. We used to sing a song in the church, Pastor Ventus. Says, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody. Folk mean that now. They mean it. They ain't telling nobody. And there's another one we used to sing. I shall not be moved. They mean that one too. Amen. Hey, I don't care what's going on. They shall not be moved. But 2024 is calling for us to exalt the name of the Lord. 2024 is calling for us to be a part of that noisy crowd. 2024 is calling for us to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. To lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. To exalt him. Amen. Amen. To let it be known whose side we're on. Amen. Amen. Manuel Scott Sr., God bless his heart, he says, if the saved don't start looking more saved, then the lost are not going to be saved. He said the saved got to start looking more saved before the lost will ever want to be saved. God bless you. God keep you.
I can say is wow. Wow. Do you feel the spirit in the house? Sometimes the spirit isn't about shouting and people stand, but there is a hovering of the Holy Spirit in this place.